Well, it's really good to see everyone we have with us this morning. We have quite a number of people here, and I know we have a few visitors, and we're glad you're here. And I hope you'll want to come back and be with us again in the future. excuse me there. I hope we make you feel welcome, and we'll do our best to try to do that. As TJ said, please do remember the movie night coming up Friday night. And one other announcement that I want to make sure that I make is I appreciate those, and there were several people that came out yesterday to the Harvest Fest and helped out with that. I think it went real well. Wes and I had noticed from the beginning there were not nearly as many people there as there were last year, and we don't know why that was. It was a perfect day weather-wise, and maybe everybody went down to the shore or something, I don't know. But nonetheless, it worked out real well. We did have, a number of people that stopped by, took the Bible quiz, and we were able to engage into some conversations with them. And there were several, I think, really good prospects. I don't know if any of you that are here this morning visiting with us were one of those people that stopped by. If you were, then great. We're glad to have you. But we look forward to more positive efforts like that in the future. Without any further delay, let's get into the lesson this morning. And this is our last Sunday of the quarter, and therefore we are wrapping up, as it were, this quarter's theme. And this third quarter emphasis has been remember what you are. And we'll talk a little more about that as we do a little bit of reviewing and maybe a couple added points along the way. Remember, we started off this year, our theme is the man in the mirror. And jumping off from this passage in James chapter 1, the first three quarters up to today, we have emphasized this passage that Chris just read for us. In quarter number 1, we talked about gazing into the mirror. That is really making an honest evaluation of me. I look in the mirror, I take an honest look at myself according to the Word of God, and I see the changes that need to be made. And then I began to internalize the Word of God. I received the engrafted Word. I let it grow within me and move me or motivate me as it takes root in my life, in my heart, and begins to guide my life. And finally, this quarter, we have been emphasizing the idea of remember what you are. In this passage, the idea, the focus is upon the idea of remembering, not forgetting, as it were. So recalling from the Word of God that I am a Christian every day, and in particular with respect to the change or changes that I am striving to make in my life, certainly the principles of God apply to that, and I want to remember, I want to hold on to that. Now you've seen that chart before, and this passage, as Chris just read for us, will emphasize several things within it. Be doers of the Word, not hearers only. Notice that this quarter, we have been emphasizing some things, practical suggestions, so to speak. What must I do to remain who I want to be? I'm striving to make that change. I'm becoming the person I want to be. Now, the example I've used all year is a personal one, obviously. I'm in the third year of trying to take this 180 pounds that I put on myself, extra that I put on myself, I'm trying to take that off. I'm about 122 pounds off of me into that. So I've really been trying to focus on this. And a lot of these principles this year grow out of things that I had thought about for a long time and finally began to really put into practice a couple of years back. So we're looking at the idea of practical suggestions to remember, to stay on course, so to speak. We know the Bible teaches us we behold ourselves in the mirror. We see ourselves as we read the Word of God, very simply put. But really, the focus is, in verse 25, to gaze, that long, lingering look. I compare that to a woman or a teenager who stares into the mirror, really looks at every crease and crevice and whatever. I won't go any more graphic than that. But looks at everything in the mirror. That's what we want to do, though. We want to take that long stare into the mirror, into the perfect law of liberty, of God's Word, and we want to see where we are and where we need to be. And so, we've talked about the idea of being doers, continuing, that is, working at the process of making these changes. And again, we've really emphasized the practical suggestions in doing that. And the practical suggestions in particular, this quarter, to remember. Because as you get into it, and as you are practicing what you're doing in order to change, well, you can forget. And the Bible is talking, look back at the passage again, he being a forgetful hearer, not a forgetful hearer. If the Bible is cautioning us about that, then it is something that we can easily do. Now let's go a little further with that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and again in Galatians chapter 6, the Bible says, do not be weary in well-doing. So the idea is, don't get tired of making the change. I've found that one of the things that in the day-in, day-out grind, and I'll use that terminology, of changing your life, it does get tiring. You can get excited about eating healthier. You can get excited about the changes it's making. When I was at the Harvest Fest yesterday, and when I left to go get breakfast from the Harvest Fest, I remembered back to the exact same situation last year, because we were in the same place. I remember the same situation last year and what it felt like to walk around Harvest Fest, etc. I'm a lot lighter on my feet. I've lost about 30 more pounds than I was last September. It's different. It feels different. That feels good. Okay. But in the day-in, day-out grind, when it's time to eat breakfast or it's time to eat lunch, and I'm thinking in terms of, double Whopper with cheese, French fry, you know what I'm saying? It just gets tiring every day to make the right decision. Now, that can apply to anything. Anything you're struggling with. It can be a moral thing in your life. It can be a physical thing in your life. It can be an emotional thing in your life. A spiritual thing in your life. Do not grow weary in well-doing. The Bible twice cautions us that. Don't get tired of doing good. There's got to be a progression. And this sort of segues into next week's lesson and the last quarter. And I chose the term progression intentionally. Because we need to be changing from glory to glory. I'm not going to spend a lot of time this morning talking about that, but that's where we're going with it. In other words, rather than getting tired of the grind, mentally, I need to be thinking about the next step and the next step and the progression I'm making. There's got to be a personal progression. We won't stay stagnant. You never stay in the same place for the rest of your life with respect to anything. Whether that's a relationship or that's a spiritual thing in your life, you never stay at the same place. You either get better or you get worse. So there has to be a progression as we gaze into the mirror of God's Word and we receive that Word into our heart. We've got to habitually put it into action. And the emphasis this quarter has been on habit. Habitually do what you're doing until it is natural, until it is a new way of life. You've seen this flow chart that I kind of put together, and we're going to talk a little bit about it. But the idea of a decision that leads to a plan of action. But then, of course, you've got to work the plan. And that's that day-in, day-out practice. That's the habit that you're doing. Because as you work the plan, you begin to build good habits in your life. And if you do those good habits, if you habitually do all of that long enough, and we're going to really talk about next quarter, as you make the higher step and the next higher step, it becomes a lifelong change, a way of life. And it no longer becomes the struggle that it is on the front end. It becomes a natural way of life. And the point is, when it becomes natural, well, then it's real change. It's not a temporary thing. I tell people all the time, I'm not on a diet. I never have been. And that's what's different now than everything else in the last 30 years. For the last 30 years, 27 of those that I was trying to lose the weight, I went on diet after diet after diet. I'm not on a diet. I eat whatever, and here's the key, whatever I want to. It's just that some changes have been made. Some new habits have been built. And there's plenty more to go. Don't misunderstand. But what's happening is a natural way of life is being built in me. That is, what I was that was natural is changing to a new way of life, and it's becoming a lifelong change. Lifelong, because I'm not on a diet for 6 months or a year or whatever it is to lose X amount of pounds, and then I'll get off of that and go back to what I did before. What I did before led to 180 pounds overweight, and when I lose it all and I go back to it, it'll do the same thing again. The point is, there has to be, and I recognize this, there has to be a total life change. And you have to build that if it's going to happen. Now, I think we all understand that. So what do you do? Well, we've talked about it this quarter. I'm going to give you 4 points this morning, incorporating a lot of the principles I've talked about. Number one, you got to get going. You can think about it and talk about it and look into the mirror and see the change that needs to be made for years, literally. I did that. And I don't want you to do what I did. I want you to do much better than me. Don't just look into a mirror and see what needs to be changed and leave it at that. Get going. Start doing something. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, and I love this passage. I quote it to me practically every day. As we have, therefore, opportunity. And I say to myself sometimes, you ain't dead yet. You're not in the grave. You weren't buried a fat man in a casket. So you have opportunity. Use the opportunity you have and change. As we have, therefore, opportunity, let's do the good we need to do. A lot of times people are, one of these days I am, and you finish the quote. Or one of these days, because I know I need to do such and such. I need to make this change or that change. And it can be little things. I told you before, I went all through college saying to myself every single, especially in at the master's level, saying to myself every course, I need to plan this thesis. I need this paper that's got to be written. I knew on the front end, you're going to have to write a 30-page paper or whatever. I need to do it differently than I've always done it. I never did. Every single one was the same thing. Okay, sit down at the typewriter. Start going. Got to knock it out. One of these days, I'm going to do so and so because I know I need to do such and such. That guides way too many people's lives. The greatest step you ever take in changing is starting. And I believe that. A writer, I learned this really from several writers that I listened to being interviewed about very successful careers as a writer and writing books. And they said, someone would ask the question invariably of every one of them, how did you write such a book? And every one of them answers it the same way. I wrote page one. I wrote the first sentence. In other words, if you're going to do some great thing in life, you got to start. You can think about it, talk about it, want to do it, etc., for all your life and never do it. The greatest step you ever take is starting. And, of course, the next is staying with it. Those are the two things. If you want to boil all of this down, every bit of what we've been talking about, even Christianity itself, I say that often. The greatest step you ever take in being a Christian, because this is the way I think of my own life. I remember what it took to get up out of that pew and go down to the front and be baptized. I know what I needed to do. I had known what I needed to do. I learned what I needed to do, and I finally did it. The greatest step I ever took in being a Christian was that first step up out of that pew. It was the hardest that I ever took, and probably always will be. The next greatest step is staying with it. And we're going to talk a whole lot this next quarter about progressing and getting greater and more glorious every step of the way. Staying with it. Of course, the point is, you've got to overcome the procrastination. You've got to stop procrastinating and take the step to get going. Jesus said, I must work the works of Him who sent me, John 9, verse 4, while it is day. Because the night comes when no man can work. In Ephesians chapter 5, remember we emphasized that passage in our lesson on procrastination. We talked about the idea of gazing, the walking circumspectly. We talked about the idea of receiving the Word, the understanding what the will of the Lord is. But we also talked about the remembering, not forgetting, internalizing, knowing what you need to be, and doing it. That's the idea. Overcome the procrastination and make the start. Start doing what you know you need to do. And then focus on the basics. Those basics in the whole idea of making a change is your plan. You've got your plan. Focus on it. Embrace it. If it's a good plan and if you wrote it down and you know yourself better than anybody else knows you. You know, you could come to me and you could say, Michael, I need to change such and such in my life. Write me out a plan. And I can. But it won't be anywhere as good as the one you can write for you. Because you know you better than anyone else does except for God. Enlist His help and you write your plan. And once you get it, it's your process that you need to take, then embrace it and believe in it. That's what you know you need to do. You tweak it when you need to. And certainly you add good points. I do that all the time. Man, my class downstairs makes fantastic points every week. And so I just incorporate them right into my plan. You can learn from other people, tweak your plan. But again, the lifelong change comes by that methodical, continued, step-by-step process of working the plan. Don't lose confidence in it. And remember, especially from last week's lesson, when you reach those plateaus, that's just you catching up with it. Your body's catching up with your plan. Your body's catching up with your mind. Don't worry about the times of plateaus. Walk across the plateau and go to a higher height even so. Let me outline a couple of more points. And this one I'm going to spend far more time on than any of the other two. The last couple of points will be very brief. But again, go back to what we said. You need to identify the habit you've got. Most of the time we have bad habits in our life. And that was certainly true of me. And when I identified those bad habits, I really was shocked, you know, at how bad it was. Because I had told people, I don't really overeat. You know, you've heard me say that many times. And that was true. I didn't really overeat. I was never one of those people that binged and ate massive amounts of food. I just never was. That wasn't my problem. But all the other problems, all of the other bad habits, composite of them, made me what I was. So I had asked myself what needs to change, and there were a number of things. Make a list, but notice what I say here. I hope you can read that. Make a list of what needs to be changed. A lot of times it's many bad habits that together make one big bad thing in my life. Pick one. For me, the first one I picked, eat breakfast. I fought that for a long time, 40 years in my life. Yeah, I don't need breakfast. People would say breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Well, not to me. I hate breakfast. Makes me sick at the thought of eating breakfast. And so the first big change I had to make, and it was hard, eat breakfast. It still is. Of all the other things, I would have thought, man, not buying a Reese's cup every other day? No, it's still breakfast. It doesn't matter. The point is, you pick one to start. Second is, make the decision. Make the commitment to change. Now, this is all a mental thing. It's not, I am going someday. It is, today I am doing this. And do it. You make a commitment to change. You make the decision. The longer you procrastinate, the worse it becomes. So today I will not procrastinate. Right now, I will do this thing. And you go through that. And believe me, once you start that way of thinking, it's amazing what it will affect in your life. Thirdly, develop that well-defined plan of action. Your personal plan. what you know that you need to do, what I'm going to do, and you develop it because you are changing you. And pay attention to the motivators in your life and the obstacles in your life. In other words, what moves you in a certain direction? Learn to analyze it. Learn to remember what it is. Learn to look at your life and realize, okay, that thing happened, that person said that, I saw that, I heard that. Go through it in your head and say to yourself, that moved me to do this, which led me to do that. I would not do that. In other words, if you ever reach those points in your life, how did I get here doing this or being that? Go back through and realize what happened to get you there. What tripped you up? What obstacles did you hit? What people were you around? What activity were you in? Etc., etc. Learn what moves you to that behavior. And learn at the same time what moves you to a good behavior, to the right thing you know you need to do. What motivates me to do this, which leads me to do that? In other words, what can move me to eat breakfast when I should, when I really don't want to? Learn what moves you in a right direction. This is you being in tune with you. Fifthly, put a support system in place. If you're like I am, and some people are not, but if you're like I am, I can tend to be a real loner. Now that comes from a lifetime. And some of that wasn't my fault. But I can tend to be one of these people, I don't need anybody else. I can do everything on my own. I don't want anybody else's help. You know, I'm fine. In fact, interaction with other people is a forced thing. I can be one of those people. And it's very, very destructive to me to do that. Put a support system in place. I've told you before, I can't tell you how important it is. My wife and my daughter and the things they do on a daily basis are my biggest support, obviously. But I can't tell you the difference it makes to me in that day in, day out grind to have you come through the back and just make a comment. Michael, you look great. Wow, you really inspire me. You're a great example. You know, that is something to live up to. That's something that pushes you to want to do better. I grew up, honestly, in a family where every bad move, every wrong choice I made, the people around me said, you'll never amount to anything. You don't have a chance. You know, or when I first began to put on weight, man, you're really getting fat. That's not helpful. You know, beating other people up doesn't help them. You need a support system. You need people who really are behind you. So who will encourage you? Who's your go-to person when it's the worst? When you're really fighting it? And if you have ever gone through trying to make a change with something that's very hard in your life, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Who's that person that I can call at 4 o'clock in the morning if I need to, and be honest and say, you know, it's one of those times. I need some help. You talk to me for a little bit? Will you pray with me? Whatever it takes. Who is that person? And if you don't have one of those people, you need one. And lastly, and we're going to talk a whole lot about this from the first lesson next Sunday. See it. The Bible speaks to us of progressing to an image, and that image is Christ. And Christ is perfect in everything. So it doesn't matter what change I'm trying to make, Jesus is perfect. That's my goal. I want to be perfect. Now, I may honestly have to admit, I'm never going to reach that. But if that's my goal, and I'm always pressing on, as Paul said, then I'm going to change from glory to glory. See it. Picture your life with the change. I've been seeing me down 180 pounds from day one. And I'm still seeing it. See it. And learn to respond, because you will respond to that personal mindset of what you see in your mind. Here's the point. If you get told all the time you're a loser and you're never going to amount to anything, and you look in the mirror and you see a loser that will never amount to anything, that's exactly what you will be. But if you listen to God and you listen to godly people who tell you you can be everything you want to be, you can be in the image of Jesus Christ because that's what you were created to be. And you will see that, and you will change and get closer and closer and closer to that. Keep going. Don't give up. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, don't be weary. Just keep doing what you're doing. Athletes have taught me this more than anyone. I listen to those poor guys, and sometimes, you know, when you've got an athlete you really follow and you like them, I mean, there's just something about them that they're very inspiring, and they go through a tough time. They blow out a knee or whatever it might be, and they go through that long rehabilitation, and then they blow out the other one. I don't know about you, but I feel for people like that. I cringe inside, and I feel terrible for somebody like that. I feel that about, you know, people that go through things, and then another disaster comes in their life. And you know what athletes have taught me is just keep doing what you're doing. When you're rehabilitating that knee, you know, the rehab is a horrible process. If you've ever been through it, it is just, you go through it every day, it hurts, it's painful, it's hard, and you just keep doing what you're doing because you know the results will come. And they're very inspiring people. They get in there and they do what most people won't do. I remember Ozzie Smith years ago talking about, you know, someone asked him, how did you become the wizard on the baseball field? I mean, the guy was, if you know baseball, you know what I'm talking about. He said, well, I went out, and I forget the number he had. It was, you know, 800, 900, 1,000, whatever it was. He took a ball and threw it against a brick wall every day. And he threw it at different angles. And then he started running all over the place and diving all over the place to catch that ball so that it was natural. He'd made every play he ever made in professional sports all that time, way back in his teens, as he went through ball after ball after ball after ball against that brick wall. That's how he did it. Just keep doing what you're doing and the results will come. He believed himself to be a major league player. Now, if you know, and I'll say this one final thing about him, if you look at Ozzie Smith's career, he made it on defense alone because he was not a good hitter in the beginning. And when the defense was just a natural reaction, he worked on the hitting the same way. And if you look at his career, and you go home and look this up, in the beginning, he's not a good hitter. He's closer to the 200 than the 300. Look at his batting average and look at his statistics near the end of his career. He's got an upside-down career for most people. It means he got better and better and better. Just keep doing what you're doing. The results will come. You know that you, at times, catch up, that you acclimate, that you hit that plateau is a positive. Just keep doing what you're doing. The results will come. And finally, and this is what we're going to really focus on throughout this last quarter. Understand the mental process and how important it is. Because change is a test of endurance, or the biblical word, perseverance. We're going to really talk about that. Of will. Change comes by will. It is willful change. And sometimes your brains, many times, almost daily, your brain will say, take a break. And Satan is always there ready to enforce that and say, why don't you just quit? You know how nice it would be just to forget all this, go to the grocery store, buy that gallon of ice cream, Hershey's syrup, the nuts, put the cherry and the whipped cream on top, a few bananas around it to make it healthy. You know how nice that would be? Satan is saying, quit, quit, quit. I whispered that in your ear all those years, and you did. You finally did. You got tired enough of it, and you quit. Understand what's going on. Understand the destruction he wants you to do. And understand that it will feel like the best thing to do. You need to continue to remember what you are. Because like Proverbs 4 and verse 23 says, out of the heart, the mind, the emotions, the will, come the issues of life. Hold on to the image you see in the mirror. I'm going to make a change. For once in my life, it's going to feel real good. I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to make it right. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. No message could have been any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make that change. Are you here this morning and you know that you need to change some things in your life? Perhaps it is that you need to take that great step of obeying the Lord. Maybe you, deep down inside, know you believe in Jesus. He is the Son of God, but you've never publicly confessed that. Maybe it is that you know you need to change. You need to repent. There are things you need to leave behind you. And you realize, as we've talked about throughout this year, that that's a process, and it will be in your own life. But today, you know you need to be baptized to wash away your sins, to have the blood of Christ cleanse those sins, to make a new start, to completely be born again. And maybe it is that you're here and you've done that at some point in your life, but you've not continued. You've not been what you should be. And you know you need to come back to the Lord and really start to make that change. Won't you please come while we stand and sing?